T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
105.3 HD2.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's our program about food, about restaurants and cooking, wine, cocktails, the entire range of it. I had a cocktail yesterday. Do you drink cocktails?
30 years, Tom.
30 years of drinking cocktails. Is that true?
No, 30 years. You have to ask that question?
Oh, well.
I don't drink cocktails.
You don't?
No.
Do you drink wine? I'm not trying to get snoopy.
Occasionally.
Here. Anyway, we were there having some New Orleans hamburger. No, wait. No. I'll tell about it later. It's because it's not that big a deal.
260-6368 is the number if you would like to talk to us about whatever it is that you would like to talk about having to do with food.
And if we don't do that, we can go back to what we were talking about before the...
If we don't do that, I'm going to start playing Jack's
on
the radio.
Best American Side Dishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was saying, though. I was looking at that book,
uh-huh.
And I was really wanting to use that book for this show.
Yeah.
But I can't... It's like it's not even interesting enough to read it.
Yeah. Well, that was the one we were picking on.
You know, one of the side dishes that we used to have at my house back in the day when my dad was making that really bad chicken or the bad hot dogs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was really kind of all we could afford to eat. So that was it.
Hmm.
I mean,
a commonality for dads that they eat?
No, but I remember there was this before spinach and artichoke dip mm-hmm. became ubiquitous.
By the way, have you heard the new method of getting it distributed to the rest of the country?
I think they have, Tom. You've been on the air for 30 years.
Oh.
Go ahead. You can say it.
You've heard it.
You can say
everything
it.
I've got.
And then some.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so we had this, I'm crazy about artichokes. And I think apparently a lot of people are because artichoke dishes are all over town. And, I mean, all over everywhere.
That's true.
And grilled artichokes are a big thing, too. But we had this recipe, which was, if I remember correctly, because we made it a lot. But I haven't had it since, I don't know, 35 years. But it was canned artichokes. Here we go with the canned stuff again.
Mm-hmm. Well, for certain
things, artichokes, you know, they're probably best canned. I mean, except for the ones that you get like at the Olive Bar that have been marinated and are, you know, have the stalk on it. Those are really good.
The artichoke stalk.
No, the stalk. The stalk is on it. Anyway, it was artichoke hearts, quartered and kind of mashed. Not really mashed, but you know, mm-hmm. there they were.
Yeah,
and then it was Parmesan cheese.
Yeah,
and then breadcrumbs,
mm-hmm.
layered and baked in the oven, which is essentially like a cheap and easy way, a lazy way to make stuffed artichokes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can eat, you know, and you can eat the whole thing instead of, you know, throwing the leaves away. But it was really great. I think maybe there was garlic in it too. I'm sure there must have been garlic in it. So it was
garlic is everywhere.
So it was
my kids even liked it. In fact, they loved it.
So it was artichoke, a lot of Parmesan, breadcrumbs, garlic, olive oil drizzled on it, and then baked in the oven. And we used to do that a lot whenever we barbecued.
That's oysters.
Well, there's no oysters in it. It's just artichokes and Parmesan and breadcrumbs. It was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Let me try to make that this weekend.
What I was trying to say there is that it's Moscow, breaded Moscow dishes, except...
We got to go to Moscow's. We were talking about Moscow's. It's yeah. Moscow's, though, right?
Moscow's.
Do you remember when we were in Capri and we were on that in that restaurant...
Yeah, that was on the side of a mountain. Area I've ever seen, I think.
And Drago Satanovich was with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked in, and somebody yells from across the room, all the way across the world, somebody yells from across the room, Drago! And it was Vinny Mosca. Do you remember that?
That certainly sounds like who he is.
Oh, speaking of which. We were just talking about Capri. Hello, Buena Sera.
Hey, sweetheart. How are you, darling?
Well, you know, we were just talking about Gemma.
Oh, wonderful. Gemma.
Did you hear that?
Great. No, Gemma. I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
It was almost like talking about Gemma conjured you up.
Oh, wonderful. I was cooking some osso just now in the kitchen, so I had to finish off the stove. So beautiful osso buco.
Andrea, how's your duck with the plum sauce? Is it incredible?
Yeah, that's we have that, too. That's a Mamma Mia.
Oh, that is a Mamma Mia.
Yeah. I got some more. Come over and get some more.
I might. Yeah. I'm telling you what, that duck that I had there 2 weeks ago was killer.
Oh, wonderful. We'd love to have you, please. Talking about great Capri and wonderful Mosca. Mosca was here last night.
They were here for dinner.
Yeah.
We're very good friends,
and we go back many years with the family. And their brother, new wonderful, my one of my favorite prince. He's a beautiful prince. So they were here last night eating with us, and the prince says, Mamma mia, the tiramisu.
Oh, yeah. I wonder where he got that from.
Wait, Vinny really Mosca was in the restaurant last night eating?
No. Mary Jo Mosca.
Oh, okay.
And the daughter, the beautiful daughter. Okay. And she also has a beautiful baby coming up.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, August. And it's going to be, guess what? It's going to be another beautiful prince, I'm sure. Yeah, they're wonderful people. We've got about many years with
You know what, Andrea? You and Tia and Tom and I should go to Mosca's.
Absolutely. I love it.
That's
one of my
like
favorite places.
Would you take an evening off?
Me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would drive.
Okay, we're going to do that. We're going to go. The four of us, we're going to go to Mosca's.
We take our limousine and we go over there. What about that?
I'll be the designated
driver.
No, I have a driver to drive a limousine. We don't drive. We want to have a good time. We got to drink and you know, everything else. We got to think and something, and we got to drink and have a good food, and we're going to with our friends, and we're doing it.
In Mosca's, which for those who don't know, this is a restaurant on the other side of Mississippi River.
Wonderful and restaurant, great restaurant.
For going back many, many, many years, and long after that, and everybody has been to Mosca's at one time or another, but we were doing an Eat Club event in the same place.
You did an Eat Club at Mosca's?
No, we did it at Mosca's, and the crazy thing about that was here we were out in the middle of the ocean in the Mediterranean Sea touring with a bunch of other people, in this case, we were on the island of Capri, and you don't get more beautiful than that.
That's just
great. And there we are, and here we are. There were, I think, about 25 or 30 or 40 people who were traveling with us. This was an Eat Club event back when we did that. And we got in there, and everybody decided to go on the advice of a lot of people, said, "What you got to go to this Gemma restaurant."
Yeah.
So we went to Gemma. Uh-huh. And what happened not soon after was a guy with a tuxedo came out of the kitchen and said, "Vinny!" It was Vinny Mosca. How it was that he was with us that night, it had not been arranged or anything, not that we would mind him being there at all.
Right.
It was and said, "How in the world did you get to be here just as we're passing through?" And he said,
Andrea, what you got?
We started yesterday. Today is the second day of the special summertime special. We have three small plates and a glass of wine for $33. And that goes until the 15th of September. And you can choose from so many different wonderful seafood salad Portofino. That's a great summertime dish. We can have a great appetizer. Second course, whatever you like. Then you have a beef carpaccio. That's another great appetizer. But you can choose from, I would say, 15 different items on the small plate. We have a risotto jazz, which one of my favorite. I love risotto jazz with creamy shrimps. I'm sorry?
That's a good dish. I remember when you first ran it out when you had a restaurant in Decatur Street.
Right.
And you and it was on the menu over there. And I thought, this is terrific. He's going to become famous for this.
Yeah, it's really one of my favorites. I love that. And then, of course, we have a Portobello mushroom, Capo di Monte. Capo di Monte is a wonderful town near Naples. And there's a beautiful Portobello mushroom, fresh, lightly grilled. We take fresh goat cheese, pine nut, roast pine nuts, and a little touch of the salsetta minuta. It's absolutely over arugula. Mamma mia. That's a really good
one. Yeah, it had to come.
And then we have everybody's favorite appetizer, Andrea. That's a must. It's Louisiana eggplant crab cake, Andrea. That's one of my creativity. Everybody loves it, and I recommend very highly. And much more. As you know, you have lots more to go for. I don't want take too much of the time, but it's really a wonderful. I do this every year.
Take all the time you want, Andrea.
It's a very.
Yeah. Well, you're open 7 days a week, lunch and dinner.
That's correct.
It's not just sun and beautiful and
daily. He's open daily.
Open every single day, and then on the weekends you have Sunday brunch, and it's a big, big deal. At Andrea's right across.
Give him the number.
At Andrea, we have 834-8583. My home is your home. We have live music. We open a 4th of July town at 3
o'clock. Are you?
4th of July, we open from 3 o'clock on. So come and join us.
When we'll come and have that duck. You still doing the duck with the plum sauce? Are the plums still around?
We love that. You love to have it. I love to cook for you, Marion. Absolutely. Okay. Ciao, right. Bella. Ciao, Tom.
Bye, Andrea. Thank you.
Oh, grazie. My home is your home. Ciao.
There he goes,
Muscas, here we come.
All the stories.
260-6368 is the number. Stories about what?
The stories about the restaurant business. There's just a million of them, and they're most of them fascinating.
Yes, that is true.
Or at least better than
four. They're absolutely fascinating.
Just making sure.
And like you say, there's a... Was it 500 people who live in the city, and they all know each other?
That's
and
it.
That's
it's
true
only
of the
500.
Restaurant business, too. But that was a weird thing. I mean, that was just like, I think that happens more than people realize that.
What?
Realize.
What?
When you're someplace far away from home.
Yeah.
And you're so far away from home, you don't expect to run into anyone that you know.
It's bizarre when you do.
My
but it
favorite,
always happens.
It's really strange. I remember once in San Francisco when I was right out of high school, I ran into a girl that I went to high school with who was there with my doctor who was married to someone else. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing.
Don't tell us.
You don't want to do those kind of things.
Don't
then there
tell
was
us
time.
Because we'll tell everybody
there was
else.
Another
you
time,
know how it goes.
There was another time that I was literally in the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
Now, that's something.
With about five people, one of
that.
Which was my brother.
Yeah.
And we were camping at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And
just for one night?
He emerged from a tent. And someone yelled his name. I mean, we're talking about the bottom, like an Indian reservation, 9 miles down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. And not the South Rim. This is just someplace else. And someone yelled his name. That is the weirdest thing ever. And so the third one was this Gemma thing with Vinnie Mosca. And it's just strange.
To this day, I can't believe that happened, but it did.
You just don't expect it, but there it is. You know, it is a small world, and when you can travel by plane as easily as you do, then these things happen. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. We are talking about, oh my goodness, all kinds of wild and crazy things. And if you would like to join us, we would certainly love to have you. Boy, that's an understatement. I'd really like you to join us. Like, really.
All that is true.
260-6368.
And we'll give you some more of these stories in a moment after we pause for a moment or two of our sponsors.
Take a little break? Okay.
Yeah, why not? It's a little
little
something. Take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Food Show here on 105.3 FM. Boom, 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 boom Oh, hi. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Sometimes I get a little ahead of myself and sometimes behind myself, but we like it both ways. We'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 260-6368. And if you call us at that number, you and I will have a moment or two to talk about whatever is on your mind of a culinary nature or something that you completely made up, because we are kind of loose here. And
we make up a lot of stuff ourselves.
We make a tremendous amount of stuff on our own, and we put it away in the refrigerators and let them
and
to get
pickle
cold.
It. We pickle it.
And with pickles.
Yeah,
yeah.
We pickle it. Yeah.
And garlic and sardines, too, to make that sure that everything is right.
So I never did finish talking about the blue crab and how I'm now disappointed in the blue crab.
The blue crab. What, do you mean the
blue,
animal
the
itself
blue,
or,
the, blue
or
crab,
the restaurant?
The blue crab had great fries. I mean, okay, not great fries, but they were good fresh cut fries.
Yeah.
And the last time I was there, prior to this time, I actually sent them back because they were cold and limp and greasy.
Oh, you gotta hate that when you're talking about fries.
So it was an unusual event for that to be the case. And so I didn't expect to see that again, but I saw it again today, and I was really surprised by that. And we should have sent those fries back. We really should have, but we were kind of in a hurry. But they were not good. They were greasy and sort of translucent and not what they used to be.
Well, it used to be.
I found that to be true of your oysters, too.
Yeah.
I found that they were not particularly crisp or you know, just kind of limp.
Yeah, well, I hate when that happens too.
Yeah, I mean it was disappointing. I will say this though, I discovered today at the Blue Crab that their Italian salad is actually really good.
Yeah.
Because you ordered that as a side, because you had already ordered the fries. You got to stop doing that, Tom. Just ordering fries, because I wind up eating way more of them than I should.
Oh.
Well, and you
ate just about all of them to keep you out of that.
You order them, and then you kind of slowly eat them, and then I wind up eating most of them. But in the case of today, they weren't good enough to eat. I mean, sometimes they're good enough to eat. These were not good enough to eat, but there they were, so I was eating them. But then you ordered the salad as part of your entree instead of getting fries, since you had already done that. You got the oyster poor boy. You got the oyster poor boy with an Italian salad. And the Italian salad came separately, so we added a course. But it was actually a really good Italian salad, and I was impressed. I was not expecting that. So,
yeah, because they had little Parmigiana. Oh no, not that.
Well,
actually.
I mean, it had the antipasti in
antipasta,
it, and it had a nice kind of thick, creamy dressing, which I just was surprised by. So I was, there was like, you know, there were some negative surprises, but that was also a positive surprise. But I got the burger there just to see what it was like, and it didn't look as good in front of me as it has in the past going past me on the way to another table. So it was kind of a disappointing visit to Blue Crab, which is my second one in a row. And I have to say, I don't know what's going on over there, but please fix it, because that's one of my favorite places to go. And it's so nice out on the water, and I don't want to give up on it. So,
oh, it'll come back.
Anyway, so Blue Crab is going through a little thing right now, I think.
That's the...
Anybody else discover that at Blue Crab? Because I have had really, as a general rule there, I have had really great fried, greaseless, crispy, kind of perfect fried seafood there.
Yeah, very much so, and you don't expect to find that.
No, I do expect to find that at a place called Blue Crab, and I'm surprised to find that the opposite has been true lately.
For those who might not have figured this out, this is a variation on, gosh, what would we call it? They call it an Italian food, but it was more like
It was an Italian salad. It was an Italian salad.
Yeah,
it was an
Caesar salad.
It was an anti. Well, you know, I think there's a lot of similarity between Caesar and an Italian salad, but the difference is that one has antipasti and the other
antipasta,
one does not.
And they had these nice little salamis and other things like that.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it. It was like the only good thing on the table. The char-grilled oysters. Well, to be fair, I think that the char-grilled, I think that oysters in general are kind of suffering from the opening of the spillway. Isn't that what they said?
Well, that's what's going around, but I haven't really seen any problem with the crab meat yet, but there are other people watching it more closely than I am.
Well, I was going to order crab claws, which I like to get just to kind of see who's got the best one. Currently, my reigning favorite is also the same place that I would give the crown to for the best muffalata, Bosco's on the North Shore. So as a matter of fact, all the really good ones I've had except for Impastato's are on the North Shore, but I do get crab claws as often as I can. Anyway, I wanted to try the crab claws, and then she told me they were like $28 or something.
Yeah, they were really expensive
because the
today.
Crabs are suffering
and soft
from
shells, so even worse.
So I shouldn't say that about Porter and Luke having soft shells, because maybe they don't today. Maybe they
don't. Well, maybe not, but they're pretty
popular.
Because
they had been for the last week. So, things change like at the drop of a hat, especially if you're doing something like that with the lake and the river. No, but I mean, it's like that's apparently had a tremendous impact on the seafood. We've lost a bunch of oyster beds, right?
Mm-hmm. But you know, I haven't seen any problems with that. All the oysters I keep getting, every time I get them, they're these enormous, really
Except
nice.
Except today, they were teeny tiny.
Really?
Little bitty oysters. They were tiny little oysters on your sandwich. And
yeah, those are the ones that
tiny
were
oysters on the grilled, the grilled char-grilled oysters. Those were very small, too. So, so it was obviously they were saying that it was going to be a problem, and I wasn't sure because a lot of times they say it's a problem, and then you just don't see it in reality, like, the BP spill and all that stuff.
Reality. It just gives me a...
Yeah, it always has.
Stop.
Yeah. Anyway, you're starting to see it now. The oyster situation the seafood situation, I should say.
Yeah, it's coming along. I haven't gone without it.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's like you see these gigantic oysters, and you're used to getting gigantic oysters, and then you order them, and you have them be maybe a fourth of the size that they normally are. And I don't really know what to expect when I order them because I don't really know that much about oysters, but It's kind of surprising to see it. So that's obviously the case. It's definitely having an effect.
Anybody out there got some ideas about local seafood that you've had that's coming out looking real good and tasting even better, or even different species and different kinds of fish or seafood that we don't see too much, but here they are, and why not?
Maybe we're going to start seeing more of that kind of stuff because the seafood is definitely maybe going to be affected a little bit by all of this. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. We are just, kind of all over the place talking about anything we can think of to talk about, and
I would believe,
we'd love to talk to you about whatever it is that you might want to talk about.
I believe that we have a word or two to bring to everyone's
attention about Porter and Luke.
About Porter and Luke, exactly.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Well, everybody's got their little secrets, and they pass them along, and you grab them. Sometimes it's not even given by mouth. You hear it whispering from out in the middle of the causeway or something. What am I talking about?
It's like the Northern Lights, only food. The Northern Lights, only food. Go ahead, finish the Porter and Luke.
So anyway, you go to Porter and Luke, and the first thing that grabs me is their turtle soup. If you don't like turtle soup, get it anyway. I'm telling you, this is a standard setter. It's as good as any I know around town. Maybe slightly shy of what a few of them do, but not very much. Anyway, I'm always looking there first. But then you move into a complete variety of different things that you can have at Porter and Luke, because in a lot of ways, in fact, most ways, it's not especially Italian. It's not particularly New Orleans, but then in some ways it is. They have the artichokes we were talking about a little while ago, all the great pasta dishes. They have a terrific version of fried chicken. Just take my word at that. I know fried chicken is you go to the place you love, but you never go anywhere else. This one is one you ought to give it a try. New Orleans, one of the best seafood restaurants
Porter
around.
Luke. Porter,
Porter
Luke.
And Luke. It's right off of Metairie Road, 1517 Metairie Road. Lots and lots of parking, lots and lots of food to be had, and that's it. It's Porter and Luke.
Porter and Luke.
Luke, as they say in the in
Where do they say that?
Oh. In French, France.
Mm, I see.
That's, you know, anything is.
Luke was on the burger list.
May I have a sip of your.
Luke was on the list of burgers that my friend submitted to me.
Who?
Yes. Well, nomenu.com today, there is a list of burgers that we have compiled with the help of a friend of mine.
You did that today?
We did that today.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about what makes the best burger, and that was part of the of it. But he compiled a list of burgers because he's even more obsessive about his burgers than I am, if you can believe that. And he's gone, and he's much more adventuresome than I am. So he'll go to a joint and have a burger.
Yeah, what is an adventuresome burger anyway? How do you define that?
Well, no,
that?
No, it's like it's more of a place kind of thing because he kind of likes the joints. And I don't like joints. I like nice, classy places, so I'm not really into joints. But he kind of is. So together, we can compile a list that's pretty diverse of burgers around town. So
which leaves a lot of other things to be eaten. Thank goodness.
Yes, but we were talking about the burger, and it's there's a list of them on nomenu.com, and one of them. Now I've been talking and I can't even remember what it was.
I know what you're talking about?
Yeah, maybe
about
it's contagious. I'm terrified at the prospect of that.
You know, here's our out. We can get a little bit of this, and then we'll be back with more of the Food Show on 105.3 FM. Stay tuned. Oh, hi. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and I've been here for 30 years. Stinking years. Yeah, no, they haven't stunk except for
Just the last few.
Except for that kind of cheese we have over there. Anyway, we are here to talk about the eating, restaurants, cooking, your favorite place to eat, your favorite kind of beverage, which might be just iced tea, or anything else on your mind. We take it all. We're ready to answer any question that might cross your mind. And we invite you very assiduously to do that, and just so we can learn what you know, because it's probably something I don't know yet, because I've been working, but I sure don't have it yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, our number is 260-6368. 260-6368.
You know,
People might
be traveling for the holidays, and if you are, I'd like to know where you're going and where you might be eating if you're going to do that. Anybody been to 113 in Hammond?
113 in Hammond?
Yes.
Where is that?
That's a restaurant that I would like to know about if you have been there. It is on my list of places to go. I like to kind of just jump in the car and go to different places.
That is fun, isn't it?
Like driving, it depends. Look, it's not going to be fun now because my air conditioner's out. But you're going to be in the car, so no, that's not going to be fun.
And,
but it
you know,
would
it's,
be.
It's harder to do after you're 72.
It would be.
I'm fine.
I thought you were 95, Tom. I keep thinking of you as 95. Are you only 72?
Ain't that a shame?
Yeah, 260-6368. Anyway, 113 is the is the brainchild of the guy that whose restaurant we patronize a frightening amount.
We do?
Yeah, Saul Rubio.
Oh, Saul. I saw that his place, he's got a new place in this.
Yeah, so we love his place, La Coretta, and we used to go to the one by the causeway that his sister runs, but then we decided to start going. Actually, Tom got us to say that the food in Covington is better. Barely. Really barely. And so we started going to Covington. And now we wouldn't go anyplace else. I mean, the patio at the one in Mandeville is definitely better than the one in Covington, which is kind of right by the highway. But you know what? We're over it. We're digging it. Doesn't matter. But he's got a whole bunch of these Mexican, and I call them fake Mexican because they're really American Mexican restaurants, called La Coretta. And we have spent, truly, my daughter and I, countless hours sitting at one or other of the La Coretta's.
Oh, we love that place. It's Tex-Mex kind of a food, but they go way beyond that. I think they have a really nice style, and prices are affordable, and he's a good restaurateur.
He's a really good restaurateur. So anyway, he has been he's been branching out from the Mexican world, even though he is from Mexico City. And he is a really shrewd, sharp businessman. And so he was in partnership with one or a couple of the Wongs from where they had their, well, from Treyan, but they closed the one in Hammond. And so I guess they, you know, got to talking or something, and they've been in business together with a couple of other things. And I think one of them, I'm not sure if that one's still around, but I went to a wedding, and it was a venue right across from the train station in Hammond. And now they've got a new one, and it's called 113. And I think he's got the place next door to it also called, I don't know, it's Brasa something. But anyway,
is this that place on Metairie Road?
No, it's not.
That doesn't move me at all.
But you know what? I wanted to try their burger there. They have a burger on Fridays, but my burger fiend friend said it's not as good as you think it's going to be. But anyway, 113 is the hip, hot new place in Hammond. And it's
happening, new place in Hammond.
It's about, I don't know, I guess if you're going on 51, how you can only go one way. North and then one way south. It's on the one way south section in the block by the train station. And I'm dying to go there because I did go pop my head in, and it definitely looks really cool. It's a little American house, isn't it? It's definitely an interesting reinterpretation of whatever that building was. I don't think it was a house. But if you live in Hammond or are in Hammond a lot and you have been to 113, I would very much like a restaurant report about 113 in Hammond. That's absolutely on my list. Also, Bordeaux. Anybody been to Dominique Maquet's new place?
I haven't. It's on my list because
on
he's...
magazine. Well, we've almost gone like 16 times already, but we didn't.
Yeah. He's a French guy all the way. And
he's had a lot of restaurants.
He's had a lot of restaurants, and I've lost track of him. I have no idea.
Well, he kind of comes and goes.
Yeah,
so he's been gone for a while,
like.
And the last outpost of Dominique's was what is now Shia. What is now Shia. So now he's moved down Magazine a little bit and is across from Apolline with
Bordeaux. I love that place.
With
you ever go
Bordeaux.
There?
Yes, I've been there.
That's a good one.
It's a good looking place.
Yeah.
I like what they did with it. I'm not usually into houses that have been redone into restaurants, but especially little cottages. But I like what they did with that one. Anyway, Bordeaux and 113. I would definitely like to know. Also, I would be interested in knowing if anyone had a better experience at Costera than we did. Did not move me.
But I think you have to go a couple of times and kind of get its
haven't had the idea. Paella.
Paella, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you, you know, before I say I don't like Costera, I feel like I should have the paella.
Costera, this is an interesting restaurant. It's on the corner of what used to be the Thai.
It used to be La Thai.
La Thai.
La Thai.
And before that, it had 13 previous restaurants.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah, I know. I've been keeping track of them for all these years.
13?
And most of them.
That might even be a record.
Most of them were indeed very good restaurateurs.
Yeah, it lasted for a while.
And anyway, what happened over in this case is.
Was Vera Cruz one of them?
I don't think so.
What was the name of that place that had the wagon wheels?
Veracruz. Oh, no, that was...
No, what was the name of the place?
Yeah, that wasn't the name of it, but I know who you're talking about.
What was the Mexican place that was in that location? Anybody remember? Mm. It was good, I thought.
There was one that was in the style of an American cowboy.
Well, no, that was the Mexican place.
Yeah.
And that's going to drive me crazy.
It was the same bunch.
That is going to drive me totally crazy. Does anybody remember the name of the Mexican place that was in the Latai location, which is now Costera?
Yeah.
And apparently
Good
was
question.
10 other things at some point or another. I'm gonna really try to focus really hard.
Anybody know? Call us up.
Drag
and
it up. We only
up.
Have 10 more minutes, so get on that phone quickly. 260-6368 is the number. Doug, do we have any more Porter and Luke's to do? We do. Let me just go ahead and do a Porter and Luke while we wait for somebody to rescue us. I want to say it. Wait. It's one word and it begins with V. As in victory.
Vaqueros.
Thank you. Vaqueros. That
literally
it.
Means cowboy.
Vaqueros. That's what it was.
You want to hear a little cowboy music?
No.
Oh, come on.
Sure.
All day I faced the barren race without the taste of water. Cool water. Water. Water.
What's Tom, that? I'm about to let you sing it out the whole rest of the show.
Really?
After
Thank
I
you.
Talk about Porter and Luke. Porter and Luke is a great little neighborhood place in Metairie on Metairie Road, 1517 Metairie Road. It is in that shopping center by Walgreens by Oakland Heart. And you will go in there. It's a pretty big place, actually. It's the old Zeke's, if you are familiar with that. Nice private room there. They actually have two private rooms. One is a little bit bigger than the others. And often, I don't really talk about the private rooms too much,
no,
but they're
we don't.
Always
we should.
Booked.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time we were in there, there was someone at the door greeting us, wondering if we were going to the party, but we were, you know, going to have our usual at one of the booths. But it's a very nice looking place. It's, you know, it's not brilliant. It's not glamorous. It's a nice neighborhood place.
Mm-hmm.
Porter and Luke has great fried chicken.
Yeah, it's the kind
sandwiches.
Of place where if you are with your kids on your way home and you had some other details to take care of and you saw this and you popped in there and you would find really just the kind of food that not just kids but younger people and older people
would like.
I mean,
yeah
good assortment.
It's a pretty wide demographic in there, I would say. It's exactly the epitome of a neighborhood restaurant. It's mostly people mm-hmm. from the neighborhood in there, and I would say except us, but we're kind of in the neighborhood too now, so that's the place that we like to go. Porter and Luke, 1517 Metairie Road. Go have a look and see what they have. It's a big, big, big menu, and it's good comfort food.
Most of the menu is a reference to Spanish food, which I want to you to know is that Spanish food.
Are we back at Vaqueros?
No. Vaqueros really was a cowboy. Mexican
cowboy.
Yeah, but you find restaurants that have real Spanish food as opposed to Mexican food.
Oh, we're back
food,
at Costera.
Which are two totally different things.
Okay.
And we don't have very much Spanish food around here, even though we've always had a lot of Spanish people, including most of the people who came in from Europe to take over, which was nothing to...
So there's Lola.
Lola.
And there was...
I was there yesterday.
No, not Lola. That Lola. There's the Lola on the South Shore on Esplanade, that little tiny place that's Spanish. Lola, the Spanish restaurant. What else is Spanish in town?
Not very many
places.
Yeah,
there's not. There's not a lot.
There never have been.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because, again, I tell you, the culture of Spain and the culture of the United States and certainly around New Orleans, they have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really do.
Well, yeah, for sure.
And this is something that goes back. You know, even walking around the French Quarter, you'll see these plaques on the sides of the building that say, mm-hmm. this street is known to Tuesday. And in fact, Susan Spicer's whole restaurant is, that's where it comes from.
Wait, where was that?
It's on Dauphine Street, right
oh,
off.
Oh, Bayona?
Bayona, yeah. Bayona, uh-huh. It means Wednesday or is it Thursday? I forgot.
The restaurant name means?
The name of the restaurant is, that's where she got the name of the
really?
Restaurant. Yeah.
Oh, from the plaque?
From the plaque up on the wall, yeah.
Oh.
Susan Spicer's.
And that's like a Spanish thing?
It's a Spanish thing, yeah, totally.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. She's talk to her sometimes.
Yeah.
She's always got interesting things.
So there's Lola
and there's
Costera now. So I guess, you know, considering that there's gobs of new French restaurants out there.
Yeah, there are too.
But
you're
it's
right.
A wonder that there's not but the one new Spanish one, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Although is Spanish Latin American? Like okay,
two
let's talk
things.
About Mexican.
Yeah.
Latin American,
yeah,
and Spanish,
right?
So what's the difference?
Well, Latin, as in Latin American,
yeah,
that is something to help people figure out what it is that they're talking about. This is after
more
than
there's like a blend. It kind of it is like a what is the hombre? It's like a
right,
hombre cuisine. No. There's a thing called hombre where it's the colors sort of blend into each other. And so this would be sort of a Spanish culinary example of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, you have Mexican.
There used to be a place.
Latin, and then you have Spanish.
Yeah.
And those are really different, aren't they?
Scattered all around New Orleans, you'll find that is the way things go.
Is there like a common denominator to these things?
Very
is it rice
much so.
And beans? What is it?
It's hard to tell because by the time it really got rolling, the city had been pretty much wiped out.
It's probably rice.
Could be.
Because there's paella.
Paella is always there.
Okay. And then there's black beans and rice. And then if you're in a Mexican restaurant, there's the nasty reddish kind of rice. That's everywhere in a Mexican restaurant alongside those.
Yeah, and, you know, if you ever go to Spain, or which we have done, we've been to Barcelona
mm-hmm.
and also to
Valencia.
Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
And the two are very similar to one another, but they're not a whole lot like New Orleans food at all, but they really should be because it really tastes a lot the same to me.
You know, I was talking to Margarita Bergen at that
Henry's, she's kicks. She's
Henry's
always
gin bar, and she was saying that she lived in Ibiza for a couple of years.
Oh, I believe anything you'd ever hear from her. She's a really unique.
Well, that would be kind of cool, I think, to go to spend some time there. But I would love to go back to the Mediterranean Spanish coast
mm-hmm.
and well, actually Spain in general, which is a very hot destination, right? That. Portugal and Spain, very hot destinations.
Yes, they certainly are.
Unfortunately, I won't be going for a while.
Oh, well.
260-6368. So, Tom, you didn't tell me, what is the difference between Mexican, Latin American, and Spanish?
Okay,
and is there a common denominator?
Yeah, there are. But the more important point is that there are differences, too. And you can't just walk in and assume that a Mexican place is going to do paella. Or that the
well, I wouldn't expect the Mexican place.
Most
to be
people would.
No,
but
I would expect a Mexican place to have rice and beans, and I would expect a Latin American place to have rice and beans, and I would expect a Spanish place to at least have rice. I don't know about the beans.
Yeah, but there are certain things that you find in Mexican cuisine, like for example, all those dishes that they do with chocolate, which was unknown to the world when the Spanish people, Mexican people rather, they discovered it, and that kept on going for a long time. Everybody loved it.
Well, but you have to think about it. The chocolate plant or the cocoa plant is grown
down
there.
Where it comes from, right there.
So the Spanish wouldn't have had it.
Where Mexico is now.
The Spanish wouldn't have had it. It would have to have been discovered there because that's where it came from.
Yeah.
I remember going to Dominica.
Dominique.
And you were, of course, napping, and I was out having fun. And I got, And I got into a bus, like an old beat-up bus.
You became a bus?
With a bunch of locals who were just like piling into this bus, and they went up a hill to a chocolate plantation.
Mm. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, and I got some actual cocoa beans that were just right off the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then I smuggled them and and made my own chocolate.
What?
Yeah, that was bad. It's my own chocolate. So, but anyway, that's where it's grown, and it was fascinating to see.
Of outer space.
Well, I didn't notice that, but I did notice that the big pods were, and they would open
them.
Very
unusual.
They opened them, and then you had all of these smaller pods, I guess, inside the seeds or the cocoa beans. The cocoa beans, that's what they were.
That's what I've
But
heard.
Anyway, that's where you would expect to see it because that's where it's grown, so I wouldn't expect to see that in Spanish cuisine. But anyway, I want to go back to Costera, and I want to have some paella there because
good thing to look for.
Remember when we were in
Valencia? Valencia. I love Valencia.
And we were having paella.
I named one of my cats up for
it. We had paella everywhere.
Huh?
I'm choking on something. Paella. We had the paella in that cute little, you could buy it on the street and just have like a little walk away or take away, as they say, paella. Do you remember that?
Not exactly.
You actually brought one of the little plastic skillets home to feed the cats.
Oh, I still have it. It was made out of wood.
No.
No?
It was plastic.
I have one that, well, I still have it then because it's made out of wood. One I have.
Maybe it's been outside too long and it's wood. I don't know.
Well, I've been outside too long. So.
No, I can assure you have not been outside too long. You're not outside enough. Maybe that's your problem.
You think so?
Maybe that's your problem. Anyway, Spanish restaurants. I want to try. There's a place in Covington now that is in that Max on Boston location.
Who?
The old Max on Boston. When they moved from Max on Boston and they moved to that Holiday Inn or whatever that was by
I-12. Okay, yeah.
And then they closed that location. And now, I don't know if they're in the business, but I think they could actually be involved in this too. But they've just opened up another restaurant. They had a restaurant after Max on Boston that was kind of Latin American too. And then that closed the day. It's kind of sad. We kept saying, we got to go over there and check this out. And then the day that I actually was driving over to check it out, there was a sign on the door saying they'd finally given it up and they closed. But now it's open again, and it's a Latin place. In the old Max on Boston, on Boston Street in downtown Covington.
We'll find it again and again and again, and we will do it here on the food show.
Tomorrow
and the day after that.
I don't think
show tomorrow?
Please tell me we don't have 4th of July. We're not on 4th of July. No, we have to show tomorrow and on Friday. Anyway, it is WWL 105.3 HD2.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Yeah.
Hope you have a great
meal
tonight.
That's true. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.